Well, this is a workshop on scripture memory. We're all in the right place. Tom Young is going to teach the workshop, and I'm going to help out just for a few minutes. So anyway, this is Tom, and Tom's going to lead us in prayer to start it off.
Father, we just thank you so much for this awesome privilege to teach on your word. And Father, we just ask that you bless this, that you speak through us, that you keep us from teaching error, and that you just inspire us with just how awesome you are and how awesome your word is. And we just thank you that you're faithful and just, and we can rely and depend upon you everything. And just please bless again this workshop, and we thank you for it. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks, Tom. Tom asked me to make a few comments to start us somewhere along the line of motivation. And so I thought the best thing to do would be to tell you a few stories and a few illustrations. Maybe that would encourage you to make scripture memory a part of your life. And you, some of you may already be doing this and may already have a lot of scripture memorized. I hope you do. I came to Christ when I was 17. I was a junior in high school. I had never been to church. Our family didn't go to church. My dad was quite hostile to anything about preachers or church or anything like that. He thought preachers were lazy, couldn't get a decent job. And that's kind of what I grew up in. My mom was a believer. I didn't know it at the time. Didn't know enough to be able to balance those things. But my mom was a believer, tried to do what was right, tried to have some type of Christian influence in the family. She didn't get much of a chance because nobody supported her, including us. As kids, had a brother and a sister. But I went to, my mom was walking through the house one evening, February, cold, dark, rainy, just miserable, miserable February night, Sunday night. And she walked through the house and she had on her overcoat all bundled up, had her Bible under her arm. And as she walked through the kitchen, she says to me, I'm sitting at the dining room table reading a book. And she says, I'm going to church. Would you like to go with me? And I'm 17. I could care less. But here's your mom. She's going out by herself. She's all alone. It's dark. And I feel sorry for her. And so I said, sure, Mom. And so I grabbed my jacket and I went with her. Well, we went to, the church was having a revival. I had no idea what that was and could care less. But I sat there. I mean, the first time in my life I understood what the preacher said. Now, I'd been to church a half a dozen times before, the most biggest waste of time, boring, couldn't stand it, and typical. But that night, I really tracked with him. And there was a guy there that was a catcher on the baseball team, and he was real religious. I was one of the pitchers, played high school baseball, and I was really a good pitcher. He was our catcher, and so he and I knew each other real well. And the summer before, he had gotten real religious. And that's all I knew. Now, what had happened is he had become a Christian. Now, I didn't know that. But he was there that night, and he came over, and he grabbed me, and he invited me to come back the next night. And so, you know, fine, great. So he comes by, picks me up. I wound up going to church every night that week. The next week, I'm playing baseball. I'm standing out in the middle of center field. I'd thrown batting practice, and I was out in center field just catching a few fly balls, throwing them back in. And I was thinking about all these things, and I've always been kind of analytical. I like to think things through. I don't jump onto anything immediately, but I really like to analyze and think it through. And I'm thinking about all the things that I'd heard. And I knew that if there was a God in heaven, and all this stuff was true, I was in some kind of serious trouble. Because my dad had a construction company, and he had a lot of equipment operators, and these men were really skilled. They were good. They knew how to operate that equipment. But most of them had a pretty rough life. They cussed a lot, they drank a lot, and they spent their weekends chasing wild women, the wilder the better. And then they'd come back and they'd tell all these stories. Well, man, I could just hardly wait till I got old enough that I could drink and chase. Well, I already cussed real bad, but I was missing the chasing the wild women part. And that was my goal. That was what I dreamed of. And so I thought, you know, if there is a God in heaven, I'm in some kind of serious trouble. So I thought about this. I said, Chuck, are you a Christian? And I had actually joined the church when I was about 12, and it just meant nothing to me. But I was sitting in center field, and I thought, well, let's see, I'm not a Buddhist, and I'm not Hindu, and let's see, what else is there? Well, there's Muslim, oh, yeah. Well, I'm not any of that. well, I must be a Christian. That's all that's left. But then I thought, yeah, but your life, your language, your thoughts. And I thought, well, I remember concluding that my life was no different from a person who never even heard of God. And so I thought, well, why don't you become like David? Why don't you become like your catcher friend? And I thought, well, he's under the microscope. Everybody always looks at him. They watch him to see how he reacts or what he does. And I don't know if I want that. But then I decided that, you know, I must have caught a fly ball, because I looked up into the clouds and I looked at everything and I thought, you know, if there is a God up there, I'd rather he be pleased with me than what people think of me. And so I prayed. I'd never prayed in my life. But I prayed, Lord, I said, God, I don't know if I'm a Christian or not. I don't even know what one is. But if I've never given you my life, I want to do that right now. Now, I'm standing in the middle of center field on this baseball diamond, and something happened to me. And I didn't know what it was, but I knew something had happened. And I remember turning around looking at the center field fences about 12 feet high, and I had this sensation that I could jump it. And I don't know where that came from. I don't know. But I just felt free and refreshed. I don't know, something had happened. Well, the next day, I quit cussing immediately. And all of a sudden, the next day, I said 5 cuss words. And I counted them because I was so embarrassed. The day before, hundreds. The filthiest stuff that could come out of a mouth just flowed. And then now, I'm ashamed of it. What happened? I went home and I threw away all my dirty, naked books. I had some books hidden, full of naked women. And I went home and I dug all those out. And about 10 o'clock at night after my mom had gone to bed, I went and got me you could get a paper grocery store bag. And so I got one of those paper bags. I went in my room and I put all my those old filthy books in there, folded it all up. And I went out on the out the back door and I put them in the trash can. And I went back into my room and I thought, wait a minute. What if my mom goes out to put some trash in and there's that paper sack? And so I went back out there and I got my paper sack out. I dumped all the trash out and I put my paper sack at the bottom and put all the trash back on the top of it. But something had happened to me. So I started going to church, and I got involved in the youth group, and it was wonderful and phenomenal people. I changed crowds completely, and these became my friends. And they were good people, wonderful people. And I joined the church. I joined the youth choir. I joined the what we call the LSU, the Life Service Union. We did projects every Sunday. We'd go down to the jail, and we'd share Christ, or we'd sing, and we'd have a church service. And we'd go to the nursing homes and we'd talk to people and we did all these things. And I never helped anybody. I never helped anybody. So I go to a Baptist college. I thought, that'll do it. I wanted my life to count for God, so that'll really do it. So I go to this Baptist college and I get down there and it's, again, all these wonderful people. And so a guy would say to me, Chuck, I'm going down to the jails tonight and share Christ. Why don't you go with me? I'd say, yeah, let's go, because I wanted my life to count for Christ. I wanted to do something for God. I wanted to count for him. And so anytime there was an opportunity, I jumped in. So I go down to the jail, and I had nothing to say. I'd go in, and the guy said, how you doing? Well, how you doing? He's in jail, you know. How you doing? And he would kind of look at me, and I said, you know, are you a Christian? And he'd say, and I remember one night I was there, and the guy looked at me, and he says, no, I'm not. I'm not. And then he just kind of bowed his head like he was in total regret and total sorrow. And I had absolutely nothing to say, because the only thing I needed to do was invite him to church. Well, you're not going to invite him to church, you know. I had nothing to say. I helped nobody. I transferred, God clearly led, and I transferred from this old Baptist college in Louisiana to Texas A&M. So I get to Texas A&M, 8,000 men, no women, all military. And my little shallow Christian life got exposed. I mean, I was not effective. I couldn't help anybody. I prayed for my roommates. I tried to witness to my roommates. Nothing ever happened. Well, the reason that nothing ever happened is because I had nothing to offer. I couldn't tell them anything. So the second semester I'm at A&M, I meet a guy who had been with the Navigators. And he was coming back to school. He dropped out of school for a couple of years. He was coming back, been with the Navigators. And he'd come by my room at night. We'd go out and sit on the steps of the dorm. This is 11:30, 11:45 at night. And I would have all these questions, and he would answer them quoting the Bible. And he'd quote another verse. And he'd say, now over in John, and he'd quote another verse. And you know, there's a good verse in Psalms that speaks to that, and he'd quote another verse. And I'd say, yeah, but what about this? And he'd quote another verse. And I thought, wow, this guy's, I mean, this is amazing. Well, anyway, this happened many, many nights. So I wanted to be a part of what he was doing, so I joined the group. But to join the group, you had to be and memorize at least 3 a week. And so, yeah, 3 a week, well, I can do that. And so I started memorizing the Bible. Never done it before in my life. I started memorizing the Bible. And you know, then he taught me how to give my testimony, my story. Made me write it out word for word and memorize it. And then he taught me how to share the gospel. Gave me the verses and how the bridge illustration and how to explain salvation to somebody. I never knew how to do that. I've been a Christian for 4 years. But a combination of some personal help and me in the book every day and memorizing God's word. Guess what? I led the first person to Christ that I'd ever led to Christ. And guess what? I began to have a little small Bible study in my dorm room. And guess what? I began to help people grow as I was growing. And guess what? The guy that I'd helped lead to Christ led somebody else to Christ. And he was helping him as I was helping him. So things began to happen and God began to use me to help other people and to minister to other people. But the thing that made the difference is that I began to get this book out of that book and into my head and into my heart. And that changed me, who was enabled then to help them. So that's how it all got started with me. But for the first 4 years of my life, I stumbled, bumbled, fumbled along in the Christian life, completely unable to help anybody, and I didn't help anybody. I left A&M and went to Vietnam, went into the Marine Corps. And this was in 65. And, of course, in April of 65, Johnson landed troops in Da Nang, Vietnam. And so I was in training at the time, and everybody in training, we knew where we were going. And so, sure enough, I did very well. I graduated number one in my class, and did very well in my training and all the courses. And so I was put into recon, which is kind of the toughest of the tough and the elite of the elite or whatever. But, I mean, we had the dangerous missions. And we'd be sent out 30 or 40 miles behind the enemy lines on some spy mission. You know, we had to scope out some kind of detail, or there was an enemy battalion come down from the north, or there was a arms cache that they'd put over here. You got to find it. And we got sent out on those types of missions, a little small band of Marines. And, you know, at night, our objective was to do this without being detected, of course, and sometimes we were successful, sometimes we weren't. In fact, I think 73% of my platoon was shot up at one time or another. So we saw a lot of combat, a lot of dead people, a lot of nasty stuff. But at night, we'd set in the thickest jungle we could, and inevitably, one of my men would kind of low crawl over to my position where I was, and just before it got dark, and he had asked me about life and death and dying and war and just life. And you know what I could do? I'd sit there and I could share with him the truth of God's word and quote the Bible. I'd say, well, you know, let me share with you a couple of thoughts about that. And I could quote verse after verse after verse. You know, I led several of the men in my outfit to Christ. They came to Christ. And you know what enabled me to do that? You know, the company commander one day, we were out on Hill 56 just outside of Tamkee. And so the company commander comes up to me and he says, Lieutenant Madden? Yes, sir. It was Sunday. He said, I'm appointing you the company chaplain. And I said, yes, sir. He said, we're having chapel in 15 minutes. I said, yes, sir. So we put the word out. We were on this hillside and on Hill 56, muddy, filthy, dirty, but rainy, cold. And so they put the word out on about 15 or 18 old mangy Marines. I mean, came over to the we met at the S3 bunker, had all the sandbags there. And they came over, and you know what I did? I shared the gospel. I had all the verses memorized. I had done it before. I had been trained in help, and I had God's word in my heart. And so I sat there with these old, you know, dirty, wet Marines, and went through the gospel with them, and talked to them about the fact of sin, and sin has a penalty, but that penalty was paid by Christ. Therefore, salvation is a free gift. If we received him by opening the door of our life, and verse after verse after verse after verse after verse. So this machine gunner comes up to me, H.F. Janachowski, big Polak guy from Chicago, some muscular guy, machine gunner. He comes up to me and he says, "Hey, Lieutenant." And he says, I've never done anything like that, Lieutenant. So I said, "Well, Ski, here's what you do. Just take a walk around the compound. Don't go outside the wire. But you pray, and you just tell God that you've never accepted him, but you'd like to open the door of your life and ask him to come into your life and be a part of your life. You do that." And so I'm talking with some other guys. He takes off, and about 15 minutes later, he comes running back. He's running. He comes running across the hillside to me, and he said, Hey, Lieutenant, I did it. Lieutenant, I did it." Changed his life. And I saw him, you know, from that point on, I saw him, and he just grew like crazy. But here's the point. What if I didn't know the Bible? I didn't know have any verses memorized. And a guy, company commander, comes up to me, and he wants me to be the chaplain because I'm a nice guy and don't cuss. And so I must be a good guy. But I'm not equipped. What would have happened? You know what would have happened? Nothing. But I had memorized God's word faithfully. In fact, when I was at A&M, if you could memorize three a day, you could memorize three a week, you could memorize one a day. So I memorized a verse of scripture every day. And I have people with scripture memory now down at our church, and I tell them, I said, "You know the reason that you're not memorizing scripture today is because you choose not to. You're capable of memorizing with the brains that you've got and ability and the proven intelligence that you have, and you're not the reason that you're not memorizing is because you choose not to." I had done that, and it totally changed my life. Let me give you one other story. I came back from Vietnam, and we were at Camp Pendleton, and then we were discharged from the Marines, and my wife and I were invited by the navigators to come to Colorado Springs and receive some more training before we start our career. And so my wife thought, "Well, that'd be a good idea." And so we went back there, and I was working at aircraft mechanics and ministering at the Air Force Academy. And then the guy came to me and said, "Chuck, I want you to quit your job, and I want you to be full-time and available to help those cadets day and night, weekends and everything. I want you to quit your job." So that was a tough one. But I quit my job, and I started ministering full-time. Well, then, after about a year of that, he asked me, he said, "I want you to go to Southern California, and we want to open a navigator ministry at the University of California at Irvine." So we saddled up, and my wife and I moved to Irvine, California. We don't know anybody. We don't know anybody on the campus, anybody in the town, nobody at the church, nobody. And so we get a little rent house, and I start going out to the campus. So we take a survey. I get some buddies to come down from another college, and we survey a bunch of people about their interest in Christianity. And the last question at the end of the survey was, "Would you be interested in a Bible study to explain who Jesus is?" Well, some people checked that. Yes, they would be. Well, I had the job of following up all the surveys. They went back to their campus, and I had the job of following everybody up, and so I did. And so I went to this dorm room one night and knocked on the door, and I went in, and I said, "Hey, you guys have filled out this survey. This is your name here, and you said you might be interested. I'm here to talk to you about that." And he said, "Could you come back at 9 o'clock? I said, "Well, yeah, I can do that." So anyway, I came back at 9 o'clock. I knocked on the door, and I walked in, and there was 9 men in that room. And I thought, wow, they're really interested. But you know what it was? It was a trap. And they'd gone, when they had filled that, they'd lied about that. And that was, they were just mocking. They didn't mean that at all. And then they went and I got all their agnostic, atheistic buddies and all their intelligent, philosophical buddies, and they came in their room and they were waiting for me. So when I knocked on the door and walked in with my Bible, and I closed the door, and for the next 2 hours, I never got any further. Because they attacked me, and they came after me with everything about God, Jesus, church, Pope, Catholic, you name it, and they attacked me and blamed me and accused me of everything negative that you could think of. This went on for 2 solid hours. Guys would jump off their chair or on the edge of the bed or whatever, and or desk, and they would come run over to me and stick their finger right up in my face, and he would be so mad and so angry that he would be just spitting as he was yelling at this question at me. I'm standing here with my back to the door, and he's right here just yelling this question at me. And so, you know what I did? I said, "Well, I don't know where you got that question. Where is that found in the Bible? I don't know, but it's in there somewhere. And he would just yell and cuss and scream. And I said, well, you know, I'd take my Bible and I'd say, you know, I've read this thing cover to cover 7 or 8 times. And I said, I've never come across that. Show me where that is. Well, he wouldn't touch the Bible. That whole night, nobody would touch the Bible. And then I'd say, you know, the Bible does say. And I'd quote a verse. And I'd say, I don't know where you got that, because the Bible says, and I'd quote a verse. And another guy, here comes another guy, and he's got something. And for 2 solid hours, I sat there and fielded their accusations and answered them by quoting the Bible verse after verse after verse after verse on whatever topic they threw at me. And I could say, well, I don't know where you got that, but here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, and I'd quote the Bible, I'd quote the verse. That went on for 2 solid walking hours. Now, at the end of the time, this guy comes up to me. And his name was Mike Smart. He comes up to me and he sticks his finger. He says, okay, we'll do your Bible study. But, and so we started a Bible study. I'm serious. We started a Bible study. And there's 5 guys in that room that said, okay, we'll study the Bible. One of them was a Jew. One of the guys, I handed him a Bible a couple of weeks later. I said, hey, read this verse for me. And he took the Bible and he kind of did like this. He said, wow. He said, it's the first time in my life I've ever had a Bible. And that's the kind of people they were. And so we started this Bible study. And so I go to him with this Bible study. And I says, okay, here's what we're going to do. Here's a Bible study. You read this question, you look at the verse, and you answer the question. And they said, no, ain't going to happen. Because what you're doing, you're building a trap. Because if we answer that one, and then we answer the next one, we're going to get down here, we're going to have to conclude this, and no, we're not doing this because you're building a trap. No. I said, well, what kind of a Bible study do you want to do? And they said, well, we're not studying any of that stuff. I said, okay, here's what we'll do. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. One rule, the Bible is the authority. That's one rule. That's the only thing, anything else goes. And so we would meet at Dunkin' Donuts at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. And they would ask me questions about the Bible. And we would read the Bible till 2, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. With these men, these 5 men that just was angry and was hostile and refused to do anything, sitting there wanting to know what the Bible had to say. So finally, I go to the Lockman Foundation up the road. I said, I need some Bibles. Because I'd say, read John 6. And he'd say, what's John 6? Had no idea what it was. So we got to the point, I gave them all a new Bible. And I'd say, okay, look on page 146 and read number 12 on the right-hand side. And that's how we do Bible study. That's how we did Bible study. And you know, some of those guys came to Christ. But I mean, what would I have been that night in that room if I had not memorized the eternal Word of God and had it in my heart? Where would I have been? What would I have been capable of doing? And so I walked out of that room that night myself after 2.5 hours. A changed man, because I walked out of there realizing, because going to that campus, I knew it was during the 60s, and I knew what the college campuses were like. I knew all the rejection of authority and the rejection of campus administrators and taking over buildings and burning down the Bank of America, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I wanted to get prepared for that. So I read all the apologetics I could. Man, I read Francis Schaeffer and Michael Green. I read all the apologetics. But you know what changed their life? You know what impacted them? It was the Word of God. I thought to myself, you know, I walked in against 9 hostile people and beat all of them. They hammered and hammered and hammered, and the Word of God won. Amen. And so I walked out of the room. I was a changed man, because I thought, if you want to minister to people, you can read all the books you want to. But if you want to minister to people, you know the book. You get to know the book. And you get the book in your life if you want to minister to people. So that's been my experience. By the way, Chuck Swindoll, I go to Stonebriar Community, that's Chuck Swindoll's church. He preaches there. And you know, from the pulpit, there was a deal in the paper all 6 months ago, the most popular, most respected Christian leader. Well, Billy Graham was number 1. Number 2 was Chuck Swindoll. I heard him say from the pulpit, I'm sitting here on the second row, And he said, you know, the one regret I have is that I did not memorize more scripture. And, of course, my response was, well, are you memorizing now? Come on, Chuck, let's go. Come on, Swindoll, let's get with it, you know. But that's the guy that got me started made the comment. He said, Chuck, if you will memorize scripture, one of two things will happen. It will radically change your life, or you'll quit. Only two things, only two possibilities. And he was exactly right. It will radically change your life or you'll quit. But scripture memory, you put God's mind into your mind, that'll change your life. So that's some thoughts. Tom?
Okay, now that Chuck's got you all fired up on why to memorize scripture, we're going to look at how to do it. Exactly. So not only do I want to talk to you about how to memorize scripture, but just to emphasize that you can memorize scripture. You don't have to be a spiritual giant. Anyone can do this. I've got another quotation from Chuck Swindoll here. I know of no other single practice in the Christian life more rewarding, practically speaking, than memorizing scripture. No other single exercise pays greater spiritual dividends. Your prayer life will be strengthened. Your witnessing will be sharper and much more effective. Your attitudes and outlooks will begin to change. Your mind will become alert and observant. Your confidence and assurance will be enhanced. Your faith will be solidified. So I got a little video here just to show you how easy it is.
Dear Ronnie, here's Bethany from Shirley, prepare a table before me and in front of my enemies. Now my head, you anoint my head with oil. Shirley?
My cup,
okay. My cup overflows. Shirley? Yes? Surely, goodness will follow me all the days of my life.
Goodness and love.
Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Yes, he's adorable. If that doesn't convince you that you can memorize scripture, I got a question for you, okay? Raise your hand if you cannot memorize your phone number or your address, okay? Exactly. So it's easier than we think, but it sounds very hard. So that's why we don't do it. But it sounds really hard, but it's easier than we think. And then finally, I want to mention that, you know, if the Holy Spirit moves you with a testimony, if you got, you know, a question that's really important to you, please feel free to raise your hand and we will tackle that right when you have it. All right, so I'm going to jump right into it. What I'm going to teach you, I want to emphasize, is not the only way. There's a lot of different pastors, Christians, that memorize the Bible in different ways. But I am going to teach you a way that's taught by the Navigators. And it works for me. I can tell you by experience that it works. And I think that's one reason we come to these workshops, is because, you know, why reinvent the wheel, right? Why do we have to figure out how to do this? You know, let's talk to someone that's done it before. In fact, that's how I learned it. I had someone teach me the Navigator system. And let's learn from their experience. What typically the Navigators do is they'll review the verse in this order, okay? Topic, reference, passage, and then the reference again. That's just the way that we do it, or they do it. It's very effective. And I'll give you the example with the scripture cards there. I didn't have any existing images, so I just took pictures of my own scripture cards and put them in the PowerPoint there. So you go, assurance of salvation, John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. John 5:24. So that's what we mean when we say topic, reference, passage, reference. When I first learned this system, this is what was taught to me. And I said, well, that's nice, but I'm gonna do it my own way. Right? So I did topics and I did the reference, but I didn't put any of the dates down there. I didn't see any need for it at the time. And then after about 4 years, I was like, man, I wish I had dates on my scripture memory cards. I can see those would be good now. And then as I was doing it a while, it's like, oh, this makes sense. Now I understand why they're doing it. So I hope you guys will adopt it, and I'll explain to you how it all works. So the first date here you put on there, that's the date that you memorize it, and you fully memorize it that first day. And then in order to really just write God's law into your mind and into your heart, you repeat it once a day for 30 or 60 days. I do it 30 days. I have some friends that do it 60 days. There's a little flexibility here. I'm going to emphasize throughout the workshop that we want to use whatever works. If you're doing something and you're not memorizing it well enough, then change it up, right? Maybe add 30 more days so that it works for you. Another thing I like to do is anchor the first two words of the topic, or actually of the passage to the topic and the reference by repeating it myself. In this case, I would do assurance of salvation, John 5:24, truly, truly. And I would just repeat that to myself at least 10 times. Again, I do it as many times as you need to do it. And the reason is because when you're trying to remember a verse, you can come up with the topic, you come up with a reference, and then you're just kind of like... And then sometimes I found myself, you know, I just couldn't think of the first word, right? Sometimes I found myself, I could remember the first word, but then I couldn't. So from my experience, anchoring the first two words is usually enough to give me enough of a jump start so I can keep going. And then, and we're going to do this today, once you get the first two words memorized, you just add additional words or phrases and keep doing that. We're gonna do that in our workshop, so I won't get into it too deeply right here. And then once you can do the whole verse, you know, I do it a minimum of 10 times, okay? So really there's three keys to memorizing, all right? It's on the bottom of my slide. Repetition, repetition, and repetition. Because that's really it. You just got to keep repeating it. We'll go over some other techniques on the next slide, but the main thing is you have to keep repeating it until you can have it memorized. This is what I like to do. Some people do it different. I like to put my topic on the front. That's the year I memorized it. This is the day, as I said. This is either 30 or 60 days afterwards. So as I carry my cards along with me, I know I'm going to do it once a day until after this date, and then I'll tell you what to do with it after then. I like to put the translation in parentheses. I like the English Standard Version. I recommend you memorize verses in the translation that you like the best. Generally don't do a prayer phrase. But another reason I like to put the translation is there is because there's exceptions. You know, one good example is Job 31:1. I've memorized that in the New Living Translation. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look with lust at a young woman. The ESV is like, how can I gaze at a virgin or something like that? And that wasn't that meaningful to me. So, you know, there are exceptions. So I do that to help me keep track. And WordPerfect is the standard. Finally, there's a couple reasons, actually a lot of reasons, but the two main reasons we want to memorize these things WordPerfect is one, it's going to give you confidence. If you know it WordPerfect and then you're quoting it to a friend, you have much more confidence than if you don't. And you just have to do it to believe it. And then the second reason is I don't want to teach anyone anything that's not in the Bible. When I was a new Christian, maybe a couple of years, you know, I gave some people some advice that was sure I knew it was in the Bible somewhere. And then I was doing a Bible study a couple of weeks later, and God showed me that's not what it meant at all. And I don't know about you guys, but I just felt terrible. I was just like, man, you know, I don't ever want to do that again. You know, tell people this is what God's Word said when it doesn't. So that's another reason. You know, at least in my heart, you got to maybe come up with your own reasons why you're memorizing Scripture and what God wants to use you for. But that's in my heart why I want to do it word perfect. Second thing I want to emphasize is make this your own. I've got a friend, what she does, instead of does it, you know, 10 times on the first day, she'll do it 30 times on the first day, 25 times on the second day, you know, and 20 times on the third day. That's what she does. And her Scripture memory is awesome. You need to do what you need to do in order to know the Scripture well. There's other mnemonic techniques. I've got a friend that's memorized, that he thinks of a salad whenever he thinks of Hebrews 10:24-25. You know, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. So he's a man, so he likes meat and a salad. You know, there's visual memory techniques that actually can be very effective. If you look on TV, all those memorization experts that can remember, you know, 50 new names and 50 new facts about a new people, they use the visual memory techniques. You can also look at patterns. Romans 1:16, it starts with 3 4s and 3 2s. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So there's lots of tips that you can use to help you remember the verses. But make it your own. You can see I've got some pictures there. I've got, you know, this hand-sewn scripture pack. I do have some lady friends that they actually do like to make colorful cards, put them on a big key ring. Make it your own, whatever it is. A few years ago, I met a navigator who hand writes his verses. He never redoes them. One of them had a coffee stain. I think we were talking. He spilled coffee on it 20 years ago. He never redoes them. And that's his tradition, you know. And he's got memories with those verses. What I do is I use an Excel spreadsheet and a Microsoft Word mail merge document. Because I'm in IT. So anyone in IT, whenever you do something like the third time, you're like, okay, this is, you know, and we're going to develop a program to do this for us three times. The same thing three times is just too much, right? So that's what we do. And then also I have friends that use a scripture memory app on their phone. So I'm going to show you that too, because I think the method that we teach of, you know, specifically how you do it, I think it's good, but you can tailor it to you, with regard to whether you use an app, whether you handwrite it, you know, how big your scripture memory cards are, and et cetera. Hey, let me just take a break real quick. And Chuck, if you want to tell them about your verse pack.
Okay. I'll just show you. Mine is the Navigators, when they first started realizing the value of scripture memory, and Dawson Trotman, who was the founder of the Navigators, came to Christ because of two Sunday school teachers that had a contest going, and it included scripture memory. And as a non-Christian, he memorized these scripture. And as he was walking to work, he was reviewing these verses, and John 5:24 was one of them. And it, where it says, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, he who has my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life." And so he thought, "Wow, wow!" And he wanted it, so he prayed and asked God to do that for him, and that's what converted him. So scripture memory became a very important part of his life. In fact, I think he memorized a word, a scripture a day for something like the first 5 years of his life or so. But when he began to work with servicemen, he wanted them to memorize scripture. And the sailors wore their uniforms. They had no pockets. And so, but except there was one little pocket here on the side of the arm for their cigarette pack to go down in. And so they built a verse pack that would fit in that cigarette pack pocket. And so they came up with this little verse pack. And so that's what I have used ever since. I ran out of cards. And so I went down to a print shop and I said, "Listen, I got me some card stock out." And I had them cut cards to this very side and then round the corners. And so I got a shoebox full of blank verse cards. And that's what I used. But I used these same size cards with a little pack that was the Navigator size. Business cards are bigger. It's a bigger pack. And I do mine a little bit different from Tom. He puts his, I put my verse on the front, Psalms 138:8. "The Lord will accomplish that which concerns me." And I put, and then I flip, and I always flip mine. So if that's Psalms 138:8, I flip it that way to write the verse, because if I'm going down the road and I'm reviewing, I can flip it this way a lot easier than I can do it that way. And so I can just flip my verse back and forth. And so that's how I do mine. But pretty much the way Tom drew it up there. I put my dates down. Then I put them in a box. This is some of my verses. And this is New Testament. This is Old Testament. And I'm trying to read. I'm going through and read. Of course, I've lost some verses. Good night. I got the coffee stains on them and the whole nine yards. And so I have to redo them. So I'm going by and redoing them. But this is Old Testament in Genesis to Malachi. And then from Matthew to the Revelation. And I what I do is that I pull out, and I have them in groups of 30. So every day, we review the ones I'm currently working on, and that's this side. These are the ones I've been working on in the last couple of months. Now, I used to review them 42 days and then put them in my box. But my brain housing group is getting a little cobwebbed up there. And I work on them for 3 or 4 months and before I put them in my box. But I work on these verses and I review my current review every single day to get them sharply implanted in my mind. Then I will pull out of my box my old review, like I just pulled out. This is Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus. There'll be 30 verses and I'll review those and I'll go through those sometimes twice a day. And then I'll put them back in my box and then I'll pull out Numbers and Deuteronomy. And I'll go through those. But they're in groups of 30. And so I can keep these fresh because I review them. It takes me about 40 or so days. I got about 1,200 or 1,300 verses there. It'll take me about 40 days to go through there. But that keeps them fresh. And so I've got my current review and my old review. Then one other quick point. I also mark my Bible. So if I lost my box, and God forbid that would happen, I'd commit suicide if that happened. But I write them in, say, I memorized Romans 1:5. So I just drew a square around that verse. And so I go over here, and there's 1:14 and 1:16 and 2:16. And then here, you know, there's 3:20, 3:12, 3:20, 3:20. And I square where the ones I've memorized. So that if I lose my box, if I lose my notebook, I've got them in my Bible. And so that's and then I've got a list of them in my book here. But that's how I keep up with them.
Hey, Chuck, have you ever taken on like longer passages, like I'm going to memorize like a whole chapter?
Yeah, I do that. That's what I mostly do now.
How do you break that down into cards?
Well, I just write them out. Like I just memorized Romans 14, and I wrote Psalms 95, and I just finished. I didn't just finish, but I'm trying to memorize the book of Galatians, and I'm about halfway through chapter 4. But I just write out whatever I can fill up on the verse, and then the next card. I try not to split verses on a card. So maybe I'll have the first Genesis 1, 1 through 3, and then Genesis 4, 1, 4 and 5. Genesis, but then I have all those cards, and I review those. But I do most of my memory now. Not all of it, but a lot of my memory now is chapters, because that's where I am.
So mine's a little bit bigger. I'm still old school, so I like the hard copy stuff. You can buy these. This is what it looks like brand new. It's a bit leather business card holder, Alpine Swiss. You can just Google that. $10 new on Amazon. And I like the business cards because I get the perforated sheets that has 10 cards on it, and I can just print them up. And that's what I like to do.
Now, we had to memorize the preamble of that. I still remember it.
You do?
Yeah. Here, I'll show you. Hold the book on.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
Constitution of the United States.
Okay, we.
We.
We?
We.
Are you sure? I'm looking right at it.
Oh, we. We.
The.
The. We the. We the
people.
People. We the people. We the people. We the people. We the people.
Of.
Of. We the people of.
The. United.
We the people of the United. Flag? Breathe. Wind. Wave. Star.
States.
States. We the people of the United States.
In order.
In order.
To form a.
Form a.
More perfect.
Perfect.
You.
To form a more perfect you.
Nyan.
Union. In order to form a more perfect union.
S.
S.
Ta.
Ta.
Ble.
Ble.
Sh.
Establish.
Just.
Establish just.
Test.
Justice. Establish justice.
Ensure domestic tranquility. Provide for the common defense. Promote the general welfare. And secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity to ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Yeah, that's his quote at the end. You learn something, you learn it. And then, you know, that sounds true. And some things we memorize, we can, you know, recall 5 years later. And wow, that's amazing. But when you try to remember lots of scripture, you have to review. Another example is I talked about who all remembers your address, you know, right now today. Who remembers all of their addresses for every single place that they've ever lived? But at one point you had that memorized. All right, so I got a slide to go over just what Chuck talked about, because when I first memorized scripture, I said, hey, you learned something, you learned it, right? But it wasn't working. So I actually went to Chuck. I said, well, I'm going to talk to someone more experienced than me. I need a system. I need a system how to do this. And this is the system that Chuck taught me. You can review. Yeah, so once you learn your scripture, that's what we call the current review. And then after you've reviewed it every day for 1 month or 60 days or whatever, it moves from the current review to the back review. Okay? I like to do one a week. So that means I only have really four verses in my current view at one time. 30 days, four weeks, and 30 days. So that doesn't take long at all. I'll get those done in less than a minute. What to do with your back review? My goal is to review those once a week. So I'll take my pile and I'll split it into seven sections, and I'll do one section a day. I found, you know, sometimes you get busy, sometimes you're not able to get them. Personally, for me, if I don't review them once a week, you know, then one word to one line, tiny little word will slip out. So I know I need, you know, with my mind, I need to review them at least once a week in order to retain. I do have some friends that have memorized much more scripture than me, and they've got to go to once every 2 weeks or, you know, once every 3 weeks. I'll cross that bridge when I get to it. So for starters, one review once a week, take my back review, split it into seven sections. Sometimes I'd go through a day and I'd forget to review my scriptures. And then I remembered Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. And I'm like, wait a second. You know, I walk by the way, right? I lie down, right? I rise. Just thinking about that verse helped me to pull my verses out during spare moments. One simple example is I'm watching the Super Bowl, right? And the commercials are actually pretty good. But let's say the commercial isn't so good, right? I'm sitting down. That verse reminded me. I said, I can pull out, you know, during that commercial, I can go over one or two scriptures. If you get in the habit of doing your spare moments during the day, you'd be surprised how many scriptures you can get through the whole day. And it doesn't take, you don't have to plan a lot of time for that. So it's a great habit. It takes a little while to develop, and I'm still working on it. But it's a great habit to develop. What do you do if you go through the day and you don't have them fixed? You don't have them finished? There's a lot of things you can do. One, you can just commit, well, I'm going to take so many minutes, I'm going to finish them before I go to bed, you know? Or sometimes I said, I'm going to do them first thing in the morning, you know? Or sometimes I just kind of punt, right? You know, sometimes that happens. This isn't supposed to be a burden. It's not a burden. It's not a burden for me in my practice. It's a joy. And if I ever feel it's a burden, I'm like, okay, I missed that day, right? Sometimes you just got to say, that day's a loss. We're going to start over the next day. You know, my goal for scripture memory is I just want to do 7 days in a row. That's all. And if I miss it, oh, well, we'll just, you know, it's not so long. It's not 30 days in a row where I go 28 days and then I miss a day. And then it becomes more discouraging than encouraging. Mine is 7 days in a row. And as long as I get it 7 days in a row, that's great. And then I try to do that again. That's how I review the scriptures once a week. Any questions on this? Pretty straightforward. All right. Hey, look at that. I'm just going to show you some of the different ways that people do it. This is actually my spreadsheet. Chuck talked about he marks his verses in the Bible. I have a separate spreadsheet that's my backup. Just in case, you know, I lose all my verses, I can print them all again. I've got a historical record of it. This is my little mail merge document. Okay, you can see it's the little business card sheets. We're going to hand out some of those. I'll show it to you once during the exercise. You just buy them. There's a couple flavors. There's some... Oh, yeah, no, they're not there. There's a couple flavors of business cards. One's the flimsy ones. I don't like those. And the others are the more thicker ones. So those are the ones that I buy. So I can just print it out. In fact, just as last year, I got a little personal double-sided printer. So I don't have to do anything fancy and turn it over or whatever. The printer automatically prints both sides, which is nice. One drawback to putting it on the sheet of paper is, you know, what's on the left has to be on the right on the back, right? So I do have to turn mine this way. Not the easy way like Chuck. So you can, you know, that may help you make a decision whether you want to handwrite yours or print yours out. But, you know, to me it's worth it because this is very convenient. As a matter of fact, in my spreadsheet I get a little macro. When I put in the reference, it'll go to the web and pull down the passage and automatically fills it out for me, which is kind of nice. Sorry. All right, but here's another way too. I've got a friend, Warren, here who uses this app. So he gave me these shots, and you can talk to him after the workshop. It's called Remember Me. There also is Scripture Typer I've heard good things about, and some other apps. You can see at the top, they've got their little columns or lists that they call it, new, do, known, and all. So the new is the verses that you want to memorize in the future, okay? And Chuck and I didn't talk about that, but we do that. You know, we've just a scratch sheet of paper or whatever. It's like, oh, this is a good verse. Let me write it down, and then, you know, we'll pick this up sometime in the future, right? That's just a great idea, okay? You have your do list, right? This really is the ones that are due that day, which would be a combination of your current review and the Navigator system, and then whatever back review ones are due that day. Yes, sir.
The other app was that you mentioned?
Scripture Typer.
You are?
Okay. So Scripture Typer Pro will give you more than 30 verses. Yeah, so you can tell the app that you haven't for a verse that you haven't memorized totally to keep it in the do list. So it can do the same verse every day just like the Navigator. And then we have the known list there too. And this is kind of cool. This is my friend's screen. So these are all the ones for today. But, you know, yesterday he got all of them except one. So it rolls it over for you, which is nice, right? Okay, this is more screenshots from the same app, right? He's got the verse, the topic on the front, the scripture on the back. I believe in the Android you can actually put the reference on the back. In my cards, I like putting the reference on the back because it actually challenges you to remember the reference. Okay, where I don't see the reference, I got my topic. I'm like, oh, I gotta not only have to remember what it says, but I need to remember where it is in the Bible. So I like that too, and I think the TNMS also talks about that. With the Remember Me app, there's games and audio tools for helping you to memorize this verses, such as fill in the blanks. These are more screen settings. Okay, this one's create a verse, pretty straightforward. We're going to get into our exercise right away, so I'm going to rush through some of these. Okay.
Yeah, maybe it costs $1 or $2, maybe on the iPhone, free on the Android. I think so.
Just for the app.
Yeah. And there's several other apps. I like that one because it supports topics.
All right, I do want to say a couple of things on meditation before we get into our practical exercise. Scripture memory is just a great way for me to meditate on God's Word. Howard Hendricks said in Living by the Book, in fact, you're either in the Word, and the Word is conforming you to the image of Jesus Christ, or you're in the world, and the world is squeezing you into its mold. The TMS, Topical Memory System, which has a nice little workbook to go with the Scriptures there, has this to say about meditation. Christian meditation is not emptying our mind as in some religions, but it is thinking deeply on a single topic. Meditation leads to exciting discoveries, a refreshed spirit, and transformation of character. So it's not emptying your mind, but filling it. Okay, reflecting, pondering, thinking on God's Word. And the more we understand it, the better we can apply it. And there's lots of ways to meditate. You can paraphrase the Scripture. You can ask questions. You can pray over it. You can emphasize different words and phrases as you're saying it aloud. We always recommend, if possible, quoting it aloud. Okay, that really helps you to remember. Quoting it aloud and saying it aloud when you're reviewing. Finding cross-references, reading the context, looking at different translations. All right, so we've got a few minutes left to go. We're going to skip that one because we got to get into it. So I'm going to hand out. Chuck, would you mind helping me? I'm going to hand out one verse card per person. And what we want to do is we want to memorize 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. And you guys are like, what? Three verses? Well, 16 is rejoice always, two words. 17 is pray without ceasing. And then 18 is give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Oops. All right, let me break up some new ones. And you can put them all on that one card. There's nothing to say it has to be. Here we go. Is this what you guys are pointing at? These are the sheets that I buy that I break up for you. Who does not have a card? You know, you can, if you want to do a topic, you can do one. My topic that I have on mine is just walking with Christ. I like the topics. And so today's date would be on the bottom left, and then 30 or 60 days from now would be on the bottom right. 2016 for the year, in case you didn't know. Like I said, my topic I put for that is walking with Christ. I like that. I like the topics because it kind of groups the verses in my mind together. It really does give me kind of an index of the Bible. You know, what does the Bible say about peace? You know, what does the Bible say about insurance of salvation? And I got them all grouped together. So that's why there's really not much on my handout. This is actually the most important exercise that we have here. So I've learned mine in the ESV. So I would just start out with, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. And then I would say that 10 times to myself. I do welcome to Christ, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. Just so those I can anchor those first two words. And go ahead and just start, writing it out is a great mnemonic technique. But once you're done, go ahead and start saying it aloud to yourself, because our goal is to show you how easy it is to memorize. Well, and each one of you are going to do it in a different translation. But just to take some time right now and to do it and to see how easy it is. People ask you, did you memorize a verse? You say, I memorized three verses. I mean, you can put more than one verse on a card.
No. But
oh.
I'm just talking about in your
book. Yeah, in my current review, yes. Yeah.
You have four at all times, and then you have a grouping of, in Chuck's case, you have 30.
Yeah.
Reviewing his backlog.
Yep.
You do the backlog for how long?
I want to do one verse a week. So I take my back review and just divide it into seven piles. And I do a different pile a day.
I just get 30 a day. And so you do 30 a day, Chuck.
Yeah,
well, obviously you've got, I'm assuming, okay. So your back review, you only do a day, and you split through it.
Yeah.
New stack every day.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yep.
And if I have one verse on Rusty Allen, then I'll put it over in my current bag. If you want it for 3 or 4 days, then I'll put it back in the other.
That's great.
Okay.
And, this is to be a joy. I did like two scriptures. Every now and then I'll try two scriptures a week. And it just becomes a burden to me, So I'm like, I don't need to. One scripture a week is fine. And it's a joy for me. So, make it work for you. And then once, keep adding a phrase, and keep saying it to yourself. And then once you get the whole thing, say it at least 10 times. Yeah, that's a great point. So I'm not sure the point you're making, but...
I was wondering if you have multiple topics for...
Yeah.
Same topic for multiple verses, how do you know which one is important?
Exactly. So I have the same topic for multiple verses. So then I put them in Bible order, right? And so I think in my mind, was there something in Genesis or... after you memorize it for 30 days, it's you kind of have it memorized and... Then I just got to kind of redo the order in my mind whenever I pull up a different topic. So kind of have to do it to see it, but it's not that hard. But, I try not to do too many topics because then that becomes confusing to me. But other people can. I found the topics in the topical memory system will cover most things. So I reuse a lot of the topics in the topical memory system. And while you guys are doing the exercise, I got some examples of the topical memory system here. Some extra verse packs if you want to see them. I got a couple extra topical memory system. If you're really motivated, I'll give it to you for free to get started. Or you can open it up and take a look at it. To all you guys that are quiet, you've already memorized the whole verse. Some people may be intimidated. I really would like you to go through this exercise and do the drill and repeat it to yourself. And you'd be surprised. It'll only take a few minutes and you'll be able to say it 10 times in a row. So... And I think that's really going to help you to see, wow, this is really a lot easier than I thought it would be. So who all has already said it 10 times in a row? Who all has already said it 10 times in a row? All right, thank you, sir. Sweet. If that's too intimidating for you, you can just do 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always. You can do three. Hey, you can split it up into three cards over the next 3 weeks. Hey, if you've already learned it, find someone to buddy up with. Give him your card and then have him quiz you, okay? So that's a great way to test and know how well you know it. Whenever I quote it and review it, I always pull it out and read it, okay? Because it's easy to forget. It's easy to drop one little word down there. If I can have everyone's attention just for a minute. Another thing that once you're done is I'd like you to pray over the verse. You can do it aloud, just as an example of meditation. I want to let you know that those are some of my best prayers for the day. When I pull out a verse, whether I'm driving or walking or whatever, sitting on the couch, God's talking to me. And I can respond back to Him in a simple prayer. And some of those are my best prayers of the day. Sometimes He reminds me of things to be thankful of that, I just haven't. I like to start a little prayer with, a little praise or thanks. But just whatever God leads you to say about the verse, and that way we're having a conversation with God as we review our Scripture. It's not just something that's up here, but it's a personal relationship with our Lord that He talks to us and we can talk back to Him. So, you know, pray about this Scripture. Just take a minute. You know, it says rejoice always. Thank God for things that you're joyful about, right? It says give thanks in all circumstances, right? We all need prayers to say, Lord, help me to give thanks in certain circumstances. Pray over it, and that's a great way that I meditate on it.
If I could make a comment about Scripture memory, having been memorizing Scripture since 59, you need to become convinced that God wants you to hide His Word in your heart. If you're not convinced, it's a non-negotiable, you're just spinning your wheels. Don't do it to please the navigators. Don't do it to please your church. Don't do it because it's a religious or it's a spiritual thing to do. You need to become convinced that God Himself wants you to hide His Word in your heart. Does that ring true with you? Okay.
Let me play a couple of videos just for us to finish off.
I grew up as a believer in the church and memorized all sorts of verses, but I really didn't understand what it meant to write God's Word on your heart and use it in context.
I grew up in the church and have been a believer for a many number of years and had just decided that Scripture memory was not for me, that I had a difficult time memorizing. I think the first thing I said was, Scripture memory is a waste of time. If I want to know what the Bible says, I will go to the Bible. I cannot believe how wrong I was about that, and it's just been amazing to see how much Scripture memory has dramatically changed my thoughts, and I would even say my character. The Scripture memory has given the Holy Spirit a vocabulary in my life.
When I'm dealing with things in my own life, just being able to have the Word, not having to look something up, or if I wanted to communicate something that the Lord would say, it's just need to have it already there.
Not only having it written down on your heart, but also being able to explain what exactly does this verse mean for me in my life.
It's built community. I've locked arms with some friends to memorize these verses in the context of a team, and it's been life-changing.
The way that I now know Scripture has totally changed the way that I interact with people, just ways that I get to encourage and spur other people on. It's been really cool having biblical truth to back up what I'm talking about with someone who isn't a believer, or even friends who just aren't strong in their faith.
In my profession, we come across lost people every day, and being able to pull something and give that to them and hopefully plant that seed, I wouldn't have been able to do that without the Scripture.
It's not my words, but the Lord's words that really can convict the heart.
It's not just your opinion. You actually have the Word of God in your heart. You don't have to go to a Bible, you have it memorized, and you can share that carefully.
There are so many times throughout my life during the day when something will happen and God will bring that Scripture to mind that I've been working on.
Having someone come up to me and say, I was doing such and such, and God brought this verse to mind that we had just memorized. And I got to share it with my friend who was really worried. Or I got to tell her about how I became a Christian. That's exciting.
All right, I got one more video. John Piper, you can read that quote too by Dallas Willard too on Scripture memory. John Piper is one of my favorite pastors that I listen to, I guess, on podcasts or whatever. It's a great message on Scripture memory.
All I want to do in this simple message is to give my testimony and mingle it with Jesus' testimony of the value of memorizing Scripture. I'm pleading with you. So here's my testimony. I can give it to you in 8 sentences without exposition. Number 1, memorizing Scripture makes meditation possible at times when you can't be reading the Bible, and meditation is the pathway to deeper understanding. So if you're going to meditate on the law of the Lord day and night, you need to have some of it in your head. Number 2, memorizing Scripture strengthens my faith, because faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that happens when I am hearing the Word in my head. Number 3, memorizing Scripture shapes the way I view the world by conforming my mind to God's viewpoint on everything. Number 4, Memorizing Scripture makes God's Word more readily accessible in overcoming temptation to sin, because God's warnings and promises are the way we conquer the lies, the deceitful lies of the devil. Number five, memorizing Scripture guards my mind, making it easier for me to detect error. And the world is filled with error because the God of this world is a liar. Number six, memorizing Scripture enables me to hit the devil in the face with a force he cannot resist, to protect myself and my family from his assaults. What are you hitting him with? He is millions of times stronger than you. And he hates you and your family and your marriage and this church and God. How anybody walks through this devil-ruled world without a sword in their hand is beyond me. Memorizing Scripture provides the strongest and sweetest words for ministering to others in need. Ever been caught off guard with somebody in need? You don't need to be caught off guard. Memorizing Scripture provides the matrix for fellowship with Jesus, because he talks to me here and nowhere else, but oh, sweetly, powerfully, authentically, really speaks to me here. And then I speak back to him in prayer. And if this is here, we can talk anywhere. It is sweet. It is very sweet.
Thanks, everyone. Come to the workshop. We got the survey forms.